All right, I'm going to invite our hosts to come forward and offer you house Bibles. And while they're doing that, let me just say next week we start a brand new series called Elevate. And it's only 3 weeks long, and it takes us right up till Christmas Eve itself. So it's all about elevating stuff inside of our lives, like our generosity and our peace and our joy and all of those things that enable us to really thrive as believers. Elevate starts in 7 days. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be awesome. And we've been on a journey in our current series to learn about something called supernatural faith. And we've been discovering together that God actually wants us to live in a supernatural way. And faith enables all of that to happen. And one of the things we've learned is that it says this in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, nothing that we do is of any value in the eyes of God unless it's flowing out of faith. And we've also seen this, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith enables us to live from heaven towards earth, not the other way around. And, you know, Jesus taught his disciples to pray these words. He said, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven." And that's the dynamic of faith, that we are living from another realm, another reality, and we're making it work out here in our day-by-day existence. Having a supernatural faith will enable us to do that. And I really believe that God is calling us to express a supernatural faith as a church. That the things that he's calling us to will require that. We're just getting going in the things of God. And he really wants us to be open to renewal and revival and awakening. I remember this verse as well. I think if you got anything out of this series called Supernatural Faith, I hope it's this verse. For nothing is impossible with God. Can you say it with me? For nothing is impossible with God. And if you're facing something in your own life that's quite bewildering, something that's very challenging, that as you seek to fulfill the will of God, you're up against a wall here, just proclaim that over yourself. Nothing is impossible with God. And you know, I'm so encouraged by what I've heard from you guys in the 7 weeks that this series has spanned. Many of you have said it has really helped to grow your faith and helped us as a church to take our believing to the next level. I've just heard dozens and dozens and dozens of stories of that, one of them right after the first service. And so we're excited about that. But there's more, right? There's always more. And in this last message in this series, as we wrap it up, I want to talk to you about having boldness in your faith. And to do that, I want to invite you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13 at verse 22. We're looking at this amazing account of Jonathan and the armor bearer. Who's into that story? Anybody recall that one? Okay, you guys, this is going to be a refresher. Jonathan and the armor bearer. This is one of the great stories of faith in the Old Testament. And I've preached on this passage two other times in the last 2 decades, but I'll let you know something. I did not look at my notes. This is all fresh. This is all straight from this week's study and prayer. Well, let me just give you the setting here before we read the passage. Here we are. The Israelites are under threat of a battle, and the battle is against their arch enemies, the Philistines. They're always fighting the Philistines. And the Philistines had a way of terrifying their enemies. They just intimidated them. They would do scare tactics to try to inflict fear upon their opponents. And in this moment of time, the Philistine army is camped in one place, and they're large. It tells us in chapter 13, they had 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers. So what does that mean? There's two guys in each chariot. And then they have foot soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Realistically, there's probably about a couple hundred thousand men ready for battle against Israel, maybe more. And they're ready to sweep in and kill. Think of the Philistines as ISIS with a big military budget. It would be like this, if ISIS landed at the Calgary airport with 1,000 cargo airplanes and opened them up and out came tanks and armored cars and then all the foot soldiers, and they marched up the Queen Elizabeth Highway and they were coming to Airdrie to take us over and we had to defend them. That's what it would feel like. This is a very intimidating moment in the life of God's people. Oh, and I should mention this. In the meantime, there's no weapons in Israel. That was a tactic of the Philistines. They took away all their blacksmiths, and they didn't want their their opponents to make things for war. So Israel has no weapons. Actually, they have two, and we'll look at that here as we read our story. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 22. You'll see the words up on the screen, and you can follow along in your Bible. 13:22. Here we go. So on the day of the battle, not a soldier with Saul and Jonathan had a sword or a spear in his hand. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had them. So that would be two swords, right? Now a detachment of Philistines had gone out into the pass at Michmash. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was the son of Ichabod's brother Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. So he snuck out with his armor bearer, and he's scoping out the territory of the Philistine army. Verse 4. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Sina. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, the other to the south toward Geba. And note this, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of the uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." We'll just pause there in the reading of the story. We'll get back to the whole account later. But you got to love this whole drama that's being set up here. I think this is one of the best stories in all of Scripture. I think it's just an amazing account of what it means to walk by faith that's based in boldness and courage. And if you need that kind of inspiration today, and sometimes I need that inspiration, this is one of those stories in the Word of God that can ignite your heart. So who are these people? Well, Jonathan is the son of the king. The king's name is Saul. Jonathan is a young warrior. He might be 18, I don't know, maybe 19, maybe even a little bit younger. He's got a younger guy with him, and guess what his name is? Armor bearer. Yeah, not that fancy, right? We don't even know who he is, just armor bearer. He's this guy who's probably about 12 years old, maybe 13. He gets to carry the weapons and the shields of soldiers into battle. And these two become the focus of the point of the story. Now, Jonathan's father, King Saul, has removed himself from the danger of the battlefield. He's hanging out in Migron under a pomegranate tree. And you might think, well, that's no big deal. But if you study the scriptures and you know what pomegranates are all about, it's usually associated with romance, Song of Solomon. So perhaps he's got a little harem thing going on, maybe a tent. Anyways, he's detached from the battle. He's eating pomegranates, the king, and his son Jonathan is thinking of going over and taking up a battle with the Philistines. Dad's not around. So here's what happens. Jonathan leaves the camp of fear. He realizes that the atmosphere of where he has been is all full of paranoia and worry. So he leaves. He takes his armor bearer and he goes out and he scouts out the Philistine army, where they are, and what the battlefield looks like. Jonathan is a true warrior. He is wired for advance movement. He's wired for boldness. So then on that day, he says to his armor bearer, look back at verse 6. He says, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men." I love that title. "Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." I just love the boldness of this guy. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. But let's just look at this from a military point of view. Let's just try to get straight on what's going on here. There's two guys interested in picking a fight with the Philistines, Jonathan and the armor bearer. That's it, just two of them. How many weapons do they have? One sword. Jonathan has one, his dad has one. All right, so they don't have the advantage of having a large number of soldiers. There's just two of them. They've only got one weapon, Maybe if they use the element of surprise, they could actually pull this off. Well, you'd think so, except that Jonathan says, let's climb up on the cliffs in the open so the Philistines can see us. That's the idea. And then we'll see if the Lord is with us. So they don't even have an element of surprise. So there's not enough soldiers, not enough weapons, not enough experience. There's just one soldier with a trained helper, and there's no element of surprise. But then he says these words, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. I mean, if the Lord doesn't act on our behalf, it's going to be an interesting day. I think he's saying to his armor bearer, are you prepared to die today? I think this is probably equatable to if you walked into an ISIS-controlled city and you said, we're going to take them down, and you went straight up to a whole platoon of ISIS soldiers wearing their black stuff, carrying their Kalashnikovs, AK-47s, and said, the Lord is with me, you're in trouble. Yeah, CNN would cover that one really well, wouldn't it? I'm sure. It's that kind of setting. If the Lord is with us, we're going to live. And if he's not with us, I guess we're going to be in a better place. And it makes us ask the question, what does bold faith know that other people don't know? What is it that bold faith really understands that other people don't understand? I think it's this, that God is unlimited in his power. God is never weak, never weak. God is never, you know, tied up with his hands so he can't perform something that he needs to do. And it also tells us that it's not about our abilities. Bold faith knows those two things. God is unlimited in his power, and it's not about our capacity. And I think, friends, that if we really grasp this, if we really start moving into this truth, that we'll have faith as bold as Jonathan. We'll have faith that will say to this mountain, be plucked up and thrown into the heart of the sea, as Jesus taught. Hey, have you seen the movie called We Bought a Zoo with Matt Damon? I haven't seen it yet, but I read about it. Matt Damon plays this guy named Benjamin Mee, who's a British writer. And Matt, he's dealing with stuff in his life. He's coming to terms with the fact that he's a widower and he's a single dad. So what do single dads do? They go out and buy old zoos and try to fix them up. And apparently this movie is really great, but one line from the film is unforgettable. And here's the line. Sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. I like that. Sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage in your life. That's not just a great line from a well-written screenplay. I think this can actually change the whole direction of some of our lives. 20 seconds of faith-filled risk. What if I stepped into that, like Jonathan? What if I went to the edge of what is humanly acceptable and said, okay, God, 20 seconds of faith-filled risk, here I go. Perhaps the Lord is with me. If I do that, what might be different in my life? I'm going to give you the faith challenge then to think about how you're going to spend 20 seconds of faith-filled risk. 20 seconds is all it takes. 20 seconds is probably the amount of time it took for Jonathan to decide we're going to go and take on these Philistines. If you read verses 6 to 10, you'll see if you read it, it takes about 20 seconds. 20 seconds is probably all it took for Peter to decide, I'm going to get out of the boat and I'm going to walk on water because Jesus is there and I know he's going to help me. He's not going to let me drown. 20 seconds of risk is probably all it took for Zacchaeus, the tax collector, to run ahead of Jesus as the crowds were there in his hometown, climb up on the sycamore fig tree so he could see Jesus and be seen by Jesus. 20 seconds of risk was probably all it took for Queen Esther to go and stand in the presence of the king, risking her life so that she would save her countrymen from annihilation. 20 seconds of risk. For some of you, it probably only took 20 seconds of insane courage to propose to the person you're now married to. You remember that day, your palms were all sweaty. Will she say yes? What happens if she doesn't? For some of you, it took 20 seconds of faith to say, God is moving us to Airdrie. God is putting us in Airdrie Alliance Church. 20 seconds is maybe all it took. You went, yep. 20 seconds of risk. It only takes you 20 seconds to receive Jesus Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior. That's all it takes. Maybe less. And in those few moments, you can be so changed. Some of you are here today and you're ready to do that. We'll give you a chance to do that at the end of our service. 20 seconds of risk. It only takes 20 seconds of faith-filled risk to say, Lord, I'm ready to step into a more bold expression of faith, and I'm going to face those issues that I need to face with your help. And maybe this is the moment we need to really go there. So if you guys remember this in the series, we asked you to do something. I pulled it up again here. It's on the screen. We're going to give you a challenge here to ask God for certain things. We're going to ask you to go to God and ask him for something that is probable, something that is improbable, and something that's impossible. Many of you found this very helpful, and it's been helpful for me too. You ask God for something probable. In other words, it's going to happen. Doesn't really need God to see it through, but it's starting to awaken your faith a little bit. Ask him for something probable. And then ask him for something improbable. Something that, if the Lord doesn't help, if he doesn't intervene, doesn't add something to the equation, it's not going to occur. Pray for that today. And then one more level, stretch your faith again in boldness and ask God for something impossible. Something that only God can do. He's the kind of God who likes to do that kind of thing. And today can be the day that you pray and ask God for impossible things. And wow, is it going to be exciting to hear what he does for you. Some of you need a breakthrough in your job. You've been going through a lot. We've been praying about people in the business world. Last Sunday, we had a whole group of people here praying for each other. It was awesome. Some of you need a breakthrough in your business. You're doing all you can. It's hard. You're trying to see things go to the next level, and it just, you know, one step forward, two steps back. You can pray for a breakthrough today with faith that is bold. Some of you need a breakthrough in your health. You need healing in your body. God has not yet done that. And so you're going to need to come to him again and say, okay, Lord, I'm really believing in you. I'm trusting in you. I can't do this for myself. It's only you who can do it. It might be some other issue, but you need to surrender to God in faith. God is not limited in his power. And God is not dependent on our bravado. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in the person, in the character, and the promises of God. So when we look at this story here in 1 Samuel 14, it's kind of like Jonathan is there one day. I picture him sleeping on the floor of the valley in a co-op mountain equipment sleeping bag. He's got a blow-up pillow, and he leans over to his armor bearer and he says, hey, are you awake? The armor bearer says, I am now. How about we go scout out the Philistine territory? All right, he comes back. And then Jonathan says to him, how about tomorrow we go up there and take those guys down? Armor bearer thinks about it, thinks he'll probably die. He says, sure, do whatever's in your heart. And I am with you in body and soul. Oh, I love that. You talk about teammate, right? Some of you know what it's like to work with partners. Those of you who are in police work, you got to love someone like this, right? They're your partner. They're like, do whatever's in your heart. I'm with you, body and soul. And in you go, right? Jonathan and his armor bearer are ready to trust God in a supernatural way. And it's a lot like what we see in the life of King David. In Psalm 18, David wrote these words. And by the way, he was best friends with Jonathan. Verse 29, Psalm 18, he said, God, with your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield. That's David. Same kind of heart. David knows that when he is advancing in battle for the Lord's purposes, it is the Lord who is fighting for him and with him. That's a key thing. So back to our story of boldness here. We're going to pick up where we left off from Jonathan, the armor bearer. We're down to verse 7. This is right after Jonathan says to his armor bearer, "Are you in or not?" And he says, "I'm in." Verse 7, "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead, I'm with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come on then, we will cross over toward them and let them see us." Are you guys getting a visual on this? "We will let," who? "The Philistines see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them." Verse 10, "But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. I love this. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." By the way, that is not an invitation to military training. "Come up to us, we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." And up they go. Ah! I love it. This is a moment of sheer boldness in faith. And this is the sign that Jonathan picks. You know, if we go up there and they say, "Come on up," we'll know that the Lord is giving them to us. Now, if it was me, I would have picked a different sign. Like, "Lord, let the earth open up and swallow the whole Philistine army. Then I'll know that you are with me." Or, "Send 5,000 bolts of lightning and zap them all and kill them all. Then I'll go up." That's probably how I would have done it. But no, Jonathan likes to do it with bare faith. It's like, we're dead unless God brings us through this. What a sign. And can't you just imagine what God is thinking about all this in heaven? All right? Because God sees everything. He's looking down from heaven, right? The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the whole earth, searching for those whose hearts are fully devoted to him. So the eyes of the Lord are looking. They're going, "Oh, wait." I can picture the Lord saying up in heaven, "Hey, everybody up here, tune in to channel 7470, live feed from Michmash, Philistia." Then everybody comes from heaven and looks and go, "Oh, wow." And God says, "Oh my, I mean, oh me, oh me." And then I think he would say, Michael the archangel, where are you? Get him here. Be ready. We may need to send you to help out with these guys." I mean, look at them. Look at these two. They're on a suicide mission, and they're using faith. The courage of these two is unbelievable. And I think it reminds us that heaven must watch these things. The Lord must look upon the affairs of people like you and me and go, "Wow, when you guys use faith, that is awesome." Every time you take a step of faith, heaven cheers. God's presence is full of joy. He's like, "Yeah, you're my daughter, you got it. You're my son, you got it, you did it. Way to go." We don't see this realm that's over us with our physical eyes, but it's there. It's certainly there. So what does bold faith do? Well, simply this, it advances in spite of the enemy. Bold faith says this, "I will not back down. I will not go in reverse. I will not retreat. I will not go into a pit of despair. I will step forward by faith in Almighty God, and He will see me through." Amen? That's what faith says. So think about that for your life challenges, because all of us have challenges. Are you advancing? Are you leaning forward in faith, going, "Oh God, it's only you who can make all this happen and bring it all together"? Stay there as the Lord shows his arm powerful for you. Sometimes it's a bit scary, I have to admit that. Sometimes we think that, you know, faith never has the emotion of being afraid, but that's not true. Sometimes we're shaking in our boots as we believe God. We're like, "Oh God, I got to go into this meeting. I need your help right now." We have seven values as a church. They shape our culture. They shape our vision. They shape our ministry. And one of our values is boldness. When we chose that, we said that is who we are becoming all the time. We are leaning into bold faith as the people of God. Well, I came across something that I want to show you here. It's a video clip that I think highlights what it's like when we're a little bit scared to take that step of faith. It's you know, we're all at those moments sometimes where we're leaning forward, and we absolutely want to go through with it, but sometimes we get a little bit scared to take that step. So I want you to watch this.
I'll do it. Well, here goes something, I guess. Okay, you can do this. I'm gonna jump.
You got it.
Whoa, my ski's slipping off.
Just remember, never snowplow, okay?
No snowplows.
Keep it straight and you'll be fine.
Okay.
See if you can do on the 20.
Straight. Do you go faster on the in run?
A little bit? Yeah.
Is it any steeper, do you think? Not much.
Same steepness, it's just longer.
Well, just longer. Just a bigger 20, that's all.
Yep. Have fun.
A bigger 20.
Go ahead. You got
that. I got it.
It's fine. You'll be fine.
Okay. Here.
The longer you wait, you'll be more scared.
I go. Yeah! Just the suspense at the top of the first time freaks you out. That's the only thing, it's so fun! Huh? 60 seems like nothing now. Woo!
Isn't that good? Oh, it's something about younger people. They're just so fearless, right? They teach us something. Well, that's you too, right? That's you. There's something that you're facing that's like, oh God, this is so intimidating. Are you serious? And he's like, yeah, lean forward, go. And then you're ready for bigger ones after that. I think 20 seconds of risk is needed for some of you here today. You've been waiting a little too long for things to be nice and perfect in your Christian life. And God's saying, I want you to live by faith. I want you to live boldly trusting in me, not knowing if it's going to work out. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. And your challenge today, no matter what your life is about, is to take that step of faith. It's to absolutely say, Jesus, I am putting all of my confidence and trust in you. And I believe that you are worthy of my trust. And watch God do something impossible for you. God is limitless in his power. He's able to carry you through everything that you're going through in this life. And I want you to be praying about people in our church. I won't mention their names, but there's three people this week heading for surgery or hospitalization for important big stuff. And they are looking to God. Every one of them is praying and asking God, oh God, I need you to do this. I need you to bring me through this. Bold faith. We got to live by it. I want you to notice something else in the story here, something that's key to faith becoming a reality. It's in verse 12. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. You know what that is? That is a declaration of faith. The Lord has given them into the hands of Israel. Question, have the Philistines been defeated yet? No. Why is he saying that? He's saying that as far as heaven is concerned, it's done. He's living from heaven towards earth. He's saying to his armor bearer, it's over before it started. The Lord won a great battle that day. And Jonathan proclaimed it by faith. And sometimes I think we hold back on that. We wait too long, too cautious, too paranoid, too worried, too unsure, looking at ourselves so often when God is saying to us, just declare it. Just say it. Proclaim the victory over your life, over your business, over your marriage, over your future, whatever it is. There are so many great truths to proclaim over us. The Bible is loaded with them. We can proclaim, I am a child of God. The enemy hates to hear that. I am more than a conqueror. Nothing can separate me from His love. I'm safe in His presence. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. You start proclaiming that stuff over your life every day, guess what? You start leaning in. Your faith is ignited, and it takes you into the experience. We live by faith. We walk by faith. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life in your speech, in your words, in what you say, in what you confess, in what you proclaim. Death and life. That's why we also see in the scriptures that when it comes to professing faith in Jesus, it says with your heart you believe and are justified, but it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. There is something that God has set up in speech, in language, that matters when it comes to faith. I don't know if you do this, but I pray out loud. I have to be alone. I'm usually outside. I'm walking around. I declare verses and promises over me every single day, or I don't make it through the day well. And God uses those moments to remind me how in control He is. It's the supernatural hand of God at work in our lives. Well, let's go back to verse 13. Let's see how the story goes from here. It's getting kind of interesting. Verse 13 to 15. Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. Note this. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. Let me say that again. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. And if you really pull this apart, what's going on here? Jonathan gets up onto the plateau, and really all the Philistine soldiers fall down. And then the armor bearer, he grabs the sword, he goes and he finishes them all off. He did the killing that day. He got in on the real victory lap. And then in verse 14, in that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in the area of about a half an acre. Down to verse 20. Then Saul and all his men assembled and went into the battle. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. Wow. This is a supernatural moment, isn't it? Jonathan gets on the plateau. The Philistine soldiers fall down. The armor bearer comes along and stabs the rest of them, and they're also stabbing themselves. There was a panic that was sent from God that put all soldiers up there into confusion. And I think maybe as Jonathan stood there, maybe he remembered a phrase that was part of the oral tradition back then, a phrase that came out of the time of when God's people were led out of Egypt through the hand of Moses. And as they were fleeing from Pharaoh's army, the Lord said to them, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just stand still. I think Jonathan must have known that. So he stands up there, whoop, they fall down. It's a supernatural moment, and it happened because someone used supernatural faith. And friends, it reminds us of an even greater battle. A greater war that goes on for the souls of people on the planet. And you need to see Jesus involved in this battle, advancing to his cross, going to the crucifixion on your behalf, fully convinced that not even death could keep him from fulfilling the Father's plan to rescue people out of sin and darkness and death. Jesus is a great warrior. It's interesting, in the Gospel of Luke 22, verse 38, it tells us just before the arrest of Jesus, just before the soldiers come and get him, and you remember at that time, Peter takes out a sword, cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. Jesus says, put your sword away, and then he heals the ear back on the guy's body. But just before all that happened, his disciples talk with him just moments before the arrest, and they say, hey, Lord, we got two swords. And he says, it's enough. I was thinking about this verse. Why did Jesus say it's enough? He doesn't need any swords. And right after that, he said, put your swords away. You know, I think Jesus was fulfilling prophecy on lots of occasions. And I think that he was prophetically alluding to this moment here in the camp of Israel when all they had was two swords to go against the enemy. And he's saying, just like that was enough back then, we're good. Let's go forward. Do you understand, though, that it was the bold submission of Jesus to the Father's will that took him to the cross to die for your sins, to die for yours and my ugliness on the inside? Do you know that? It was his courage. It was his submission. It was his response to the Father's will for his life. It tells us in Colossians that Jesus, through his crucifixion, disarmed the principalities and powers, making a spectacle of them through his cross. He disarmed them all in the heavenly realms because of the triumph of his suffering. And when we follow him, we are stepping into the wake of the commander of the Lord's armies. Wow. Jesus leads you into victory, into triumph. He always leads you to be an overcomer. Never a defeated person. Always an overcomer. And when your back is up against the wall, hear me on this, when you've run out of resources, when there's no more money in the bank account, when there's no one praying for you, when there's no more help from medicine or for the doctors, it is then that you stand again at the edge and say, oh God, nothing is impossible for you. And I'm going to trust you like a child as I go down this slope and say, the Lord will bring me through. How he brings you through, that's up to him, but he will bring you through. Think of the boldness of Peter, the apostle, in the book of Acts, after the miracle is done of the lame man healed outside the temple. Talked about that last Sunday. And then Peter, you know, goes and preaches about this, and he gets into trouble. So he's thrown into prison, and then he gets out of the prison, and he goes to a prayer meeting. Acts chapter 4 at verse 29. Now, Lord, here's the prayer meeting. Consider their threats. Literally, it means, Lord, behold their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Aren't you glad you're part of the church like that? The church of Acts. The church of the apostles. The church that said, God, you know what? There's a lot of stuff going on in your town, in your city, and we're not going to worry about it. Consider their threats, Lord. But what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to stretch out your hand to perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What a great prayer to pray over our city. What a great prayer to pray over our lives. Boldness is what happens when we do that. This leads us to the last thing to notice in this story. Who is it that gets impacted by bold faith? Well, it's simply those who were deceived and those who were living in fear. Those are the people who are greatly impacted by this step of courage in Jonathan and the armor bearer. Look at verse 21. Those Hebrews who had previously been with the Philistines and had gone up with them to their camp went over to the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. When all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were on the run, they joined the battle in hot pursuit. So on that day, the Lord saved Israel, and the battle moved on beyond Beth Aven. Now you got to picture this. Jonathan, the armor bearer, getting up there. The soldiers are killed. And now a word is spoken. And the people hear about it. The soldiers on the front line, before they died, they must have told somebody, and they told somebody in the camp, and they told somebody in the back support area. And all the way through the Philistine army, the word is spread that an act of courage has happened, and we're in trouble. Someone put it this way, bad news travels quickly, but really, really good news travels even faster. There's no holding it back. When you hear about courage, doesn't it inspire you? And there were those that were impacted who had gone over to the Philistines, men and women who had been deceived. They're saying to themselves, it's not worth being an Israelite anymore. It's too oppressive. We're just going to become Philistines. And they put on the Philistine garments and they adopt the Philistine way of life. It says that they came back to the Lord. They're the prodigals. They're the sons and daughters that had wandered away from the faith they are rescued because of someone's bold act. Makes me wonder how many people in our culture are sitting there right now in their living rooms, and they were raised in the church, but they've walked away from it because they've seen an anemic example. They need to hear a story of courage. It might be through your life. It might be through someone else's life in this church. And then the Israelites also heard the good news. The word got all the way around back to their camp, and it rallied them to come out of their hiding places. The fearful Israelites got themselves together and went out and faced the Philistines. They got back into the game. I think we need to declare a victory on days like this and say that God has been stirring our hearts up for the last couple months, calling us to a bold level of faith, and he brings us to a moment when we need to say to ourselves, enough is enough. No more living in fear. No more living in deception. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to see that he will see me through. Nothing is impossible with God. I'm going to invite our band to come back up. We're going to go into a couple of songs that really enable us to declare our faith in God. And I want to invite you to take a step of faith today. All it takes is 20 seconds. 20 seconds of faith-filled risk to see your life changed. Let's just stand together. I'm going to lead you in a prayer as we get ready to sing. 20 seconds of faith-filled risk, because nothing is impossible with God. Let's bow our hearts together. I first of all want to give an opportunity for some of you who are here and you've never done this before to pray to receive Christ into your life. This is your moment. I'm encouraging you to be bold about it. You know enough now to make this decision. You don't have to be a perfect theologian to make this decision. So I want to lead you in a prayer to do that. It's a simple prayer, and it goes like this. You pray it to God. Jesus, I'm calling on you. And with the faith that I have, I turn to you, and I make you my Lord and Savior. I turn away from myself. I turn away from my attempts to make my life count. I turn away from my sins. I ask you to forgive me because of what you've done on the cross for me, by dying for me. And now I invite you into my life to be my King and my God, to change me and make me into a new person. I receive you right now by faith, and I believe that it's true. You've touched my life today, and I thank you. That's 20 seconds of risk you'll never regret. Some of you have prayed that and meant that for the first time. I want to say to you, way to go. It's awesome. Way to go. You're in the Lord's family now. God's going to bless you as you trust him and believe in him. He's got things he's going to do through your life that are amazing. He's got a purpose for your life to bless you, use you greatly in this world. You can celebrate what you've done today. Some of you need to pray this prayer with me. God, I'm ready to take my step of faith as a believer. I'm ready. Lord, I'm coming out of the shadows. I'm coming out of the fear. I'm coming out of the hesitancy. And I am putting all of my hope in you. And I need you, Lord, in this area. Friend, whatever that area is, proclaim him over it. Proclaim him over it right now. Nothing is impossible with God. God, I thank you for what you're doing right now. You're answering impossible prayers. You're moving already in response to our faith. And God, we look forward to celebrating the great things that will occur because you've done something here today. Thank you, Jesus. So friends, as we get ready to sing these songs, I want to invite you to just let all your heart go here. Raise your voice. Raise your hands. Let's declare him for his mighty power, his faithfulness, and his goodness to our lives.